We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 this morning, y'all, as we continue in our series of praying, not only praying for the church, but praying for the preacher, but praying for the church. Really, this whole thing is, I hope we figured it out by now, this whole thing is about helping us all seek the Lord and getting us into His will and seeking His will and doing His will and being prepared to be led by His Spirit and doing all things for the glory of God and for the sake of the lost and so on and so forth. So that's where we're going to shift gears from preaching, praying for the preacher, and now we're going to talk about how the preacher could be praying for the church or you all, the congregation, right? So this, I told you last week, the next book is here. It's in the hallway on the table out there. It should be on the next slide if you want to switch the slide. Or I can do that. I got it right here. I forgot I was changing the slide. But that's what it looks like. Praying for your people. And it's all about different ways that leadership can be praying for the people of the church, the believers in the congregation, so that we could all work toward honoring God and blessing the Lord in our efforts in making disciples and loving the world and loving people and loving God and the people of the world and really bringing people to Christ, right? That's kind of what the command is. That's what the expectation is. That's what we're doing here. I hope that's what we're trying to do here. So as a leader in the church, one of the leaders in the church, I want to talk to you today. Hopefully, I felt like when I was going over this message, I felt like it was going to be short and sweet, but every time I say that to y'all, I prove myself to not be the case. So I'm going to do my best this morning. I feel like as one of the leaders of the church, the preacher ought to constantly be aware of how things are and how people are and what the Lord's will might be and how the preacher's leadership would affect the church, and that God would give me the strength and the courage, which we've discussed about y'all praying for me to have those things so that I could lead well, preach well, and serve well alongside of you here at the church and in the community. However, if I'd never pray for y'all, I would be failing. If I never asked the Lord to give y'all what you need to do what you're called to do, I would be failing right out of the gate as a leader in the church, as a brother in Christ, as one who would be calling himself a Christian. So the truth is, I do pray for y'all. And the truth is I pray that God would have His way. I pray for the Lord's will to be known. And I pray that we would together seek it and do something with it, or at least let the Spirit of God do something with it. So just kind of keep that in mind as we talk about a few things this morning. Matthew says a leader must serve, and 1 Timothy says that a leader must rule. Matthew says a leader must be confident, but James tells us that a leader must be humble. Mark teaches us that a leader must be a man of action, but Luke teaches us that a leader must be a man of prayer. Luke says a leader must have a strategy, and James says a leader must submit to God's will. All of it being the Word of God. The reason I wanted to read that to you is because I'm hoping that we can read some things like that and understand that this is why we need God for whatever it is we're supposed to do for His church. We meaning the preacher, the elders, any deacons, all the way throughout the body of Christ, including every servant, every brother and sister in Christ. We need the Lord, because all of those things are true, that we need to be doing things in those manners, but they seem to conflict with each other. But only God and His strength and His power and wisdom and His truth can make those things a reality in all of our lives all at once. So let's pray together as I begin to get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for today and the time of music that we could share this morning. Thank You for this devotion, the great devotion we just heard over the communion we shared together in thanks and remembrance of Jesus our Savior. I pray, Lord, right now as we open up this word and read this short piece of scripture, that you would have your way in our hearts, that you would bless each one of that's hearing this message, and that we would be encouraged and strengthened, and that we would have reason to be grateful and reason to be faithful and diligent about serving you. Bless us, Lord. Bless each one here. We praise you, and we are looking for your guidance this morning. Lord, it's in Jesus' name we pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 simply says, well, it was on there. Go back. Here it is. They got out of order. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's it. That's the scripture for this morning. It's not the only scripture, but it's the scripture for this morning. I want to start with saying, if you don't know about the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul was writing this letter to some young believers. They all received Christ pretty much near the same time, and they were trying to figure it out. They were growing in Christ together, they were learning together, and they heard the gospel and they received it, and they were being taught together. One of the things that they were taught was that Jesus is coming back. Right? And somehow or another, they all come to this understanding that Jesus was going to come back in their lifetime. Which I imagine I can understand how that could happen in those times and in that teaching. This is not so far away from Jesus' crucifixion as it is for us. But they were like so much believing this, they were getting confused and also getting discouraged because Jesus hadn't come back yet. So basically, the Thessalonian church, the believers, they had quit living their lives. They quit going to work, quit doing their everyday. They had their bags packed and they're waiting for Jesus to come. And they're like, how come he's not here? And they were beginning to get discouraged about their faith a little bit. And that instantly started to create some friction between them all, because doubt started creeping in. And then when all that stuff happens in a body of Christ or in a body of believers, because we are human beings and we react to things a certain way, they begin to start having issues with one another a little bit because of it all. So this is why Paul was writing this letter. He's trying to encourage them and remind them of the truth. But at the same time, in chapter 5, he addresses that here's what it means when Jesus is going to come back. We don't really know when. We should expect it to happen, but then he goes into the last part of chapter 5, and he's talking about, get busy about your life. Go to work, raise your kids, honor God, and expect him to come back at any time, which is hopefully the way we're living today, right? In the middle of all of that is where we find our scripture for this morning, when he says, in everything give thanks. Have an attitude of gratitude. You've heard that before. Be happy. Be thankful. Be grateful. Because, you know, I hear a lot of believers, and I think maybe all of us have said this at one point or another. We get up in the morning, we brush our teeth, comb our hair, say hello to whoever's living with us. And we go throughout the day saying to people, when they ask, how you doing? The Lord blessed me with another day. The Lord got me out of bed this morning. Thanking the Lord that I'm still here, right? We all do that. But there are times for me personally when I hear that, or when I say it, I'm like, well, is that actually better than being with the Lord? If we think about it. And it's that struggle that we have, isn't it? I sang that song intentionally this morning because we all know the Lord's coming back. We know it. He may come back before we leave this world. He may not. Either way, because I'm saved, because y'all are saved, if you're saved, you're going to be with him for eternity, however that plays out. So I'm not going to pack my bags and wait for the Lord to come back. I'm going to get busy about living in this world for as long as the Lord gives me, so that I can honor him and make disciples, and whenever the Lord shows up, that he would show up and find me busy about the Lord's business, not standing on the spiritual bus stop waiting for the free bus ride to heaven. All right? And that's what the Thessalonians were doing. But he's saying, look, get busy about your business. Go about the ways of doing things. Go back to your lives and give thanks for everything. And he said, this is God's will. We started off this whole series talking about what is the will of God. And we said that the will of God is that people would hear the gospel and receive the gospel and be saved. That's the will of God. This is not out of line with that. He's saying, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you, believer, person who is saved, God's will for you is that you would be a person who is known for gratitude, having an attitude of thanksgiving about all things. Now, there's a large part of me that wants to come down there and sit in one of these seats with y'all and sit back and say to the preacher, now you know that ain't possible. Because some days are better than others, right? And some days have things that happen that just make it so difficult to be thankful, to even think about being thankful, right? And I was told by the Eastern North Carolina believers when I first met them, they give me a valuable lesson. They would emphasize to me that when you come around folks, you will generally find what you're looking for in them. If you're looking for something ugly, you'll find that. If you're looking for something beautiful, you'll find that. If you're looking for something great, you'll find that. If you're looking for something challenging, you'll find that. You will find what you're looking for. And if I'm looking to be a person who gives thanks in everything, then I got to be in the habit of looking for reasons to be thankful in all things. Even the hardest things. And it's there. It really is there. And I've been through some things, and y'all have been through some things where we had to learn how to get through the hardest things to find those things to be thankful for. And if you've been around the block enough, you know that you need those moments when you find those things to be thankful for, because that's what helps you get through the hardest times. That's what helps you overcome the challenges and the heartaches and the traumas and everything else the world brings to us. Imagine these Thessalonian believers, so on fire for the Lord, so excited about the gospel that they received, that they were like, okay, Jesus is coming. Let's just wait for him. And they're looking for him every day, which we should be looking for him every day. But they quit doing everything to the point where it started disrupting their unity and their peace, which was just talked about in our communion meditation. Because they were so much waiting for the excitement of Jesus coming back and all that comes with that, that they had stopped everything else, which is not God's will for them. And if it wasn't for Paul and other believers coming into their life and helping them learn, they would have destroyed each other in it. And they would have eventually gotten away from God in a serious way. So Paul's saying, give thanks, not just to give thanks, but to give thanks in everything. In everything. I mean, there's no other way to interpret everything. It doesn't say anything here. Paul doesn't say anything except for, or here's some exceptions, or here's a reason that doesn't apply. He's saying everything give thanks for. I think as believers, if we were disciplined enough to focus on that, what that means every day of our life, it would be a lifelong journey, wouldn't it? Wake up every morning and say, okay, Lord, what can I be thankful for today? How can I be thankful in this situation? How can I be thankful about the traffic? How do I be thankful about the people I work with that are troublemakers or whatever the case is? How do I be thankful about the sickness that goes on in my family or the sickness that goes on? How do I be thankful for everything? Challenge, isn't it? This is why we need the Spirit of God, y'all. It's the Spirit of God that gives us all that we need to find ways to do those things, to be thankful. Because look what it says. He says, not only does it say this is God's will, he says this is God's will for you in Christ. For those who are believers are in Christ. If we're in Christ, this attitude of gratitude, this being thankful for everything, begins to become who we are, not what we try to do. It becomes a part of our spiritual DNA. Sometimes when I'm able to focus on this discipline in my own life, I try to develop a habit of when I don't know what to be thankful for or how to be thankful for certain things, I just start saying to myself, thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord. Better than nothing, right? Because there are a lot of things that happen in life that it's hard to be thankful for. So we need the Lord. As a preacher, how does this apply to me praying for y'all? Well, as a preacher and a leader of God's people, of the believers in this church, I want to be able to lead by example. I don't want to just stand up here and tell y'all to be thankful for everything because the Bible says so. I genuinely do want to be thankful for everything. And I am thankful for a lot of things. And the Lord's helping me with things I need to become thankful for. If I'm going to offer prayers to God for you, maybe I should take some notes from the example that Paul gave us all throughout most of his letters. If you read what Paul wrote and you study it on a regular basis, you'll know that he starts off almost every letter to every believer saying, hey, just so you know, I'm thanking the Lord for y'all. I love you. I hear about what you're doing, and I'm grateful. And just so y'all know, that's true for this preacher at this church right now. I'm grateful for y'all. I see the Lord working in y'all. I see the Lord working in this church. I see the Lord doing his thing. I see all of us growing together, and I'm thankful to be a part of it. I'm thankful to be assigned to partner with you in ministry. It's exciting. And it's not always smooth, is it? It's not always ribs and banana pudding. But if we have to struggle, then why? Who else would we want to struggle with than each other, than the family that God put together? Right? So I pray that y'all would not only know that I'm thankful for you, but that y'all would feel that I'm thankful for you. And that you would begin to pray for one another in the same way. Because it's a powerful prayer to say. So here's a few things we can talk about. We're going to be thankful for your faith. We're going to be thankful for the fact that y'all just have faith. You're saved. First off, you have faith to be saved. You've put your faith in Christ. Thank the Lord. Thank God for all of you who are saved. Praise the Lord for that. And also praise the Lord because not only has your faith been put in Christ, but you're growing in faith every day. Each one of y'all. Somehow, some way, you're growing in your faith. I'm going to go through, if you want to get a pen out and mark on your bulletin, just write down a few scripture references to go back and read later. I'm going to kind of go through these quickly just to give a reference to some examples of how Paul does this. Paul, in Romans chapter 1, he was thanking God because of their faith, the church, the people, the believers in Rome. He was like, look, I hear about your faith. I see it. I'm thanking God because of it. Right there in the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1 also, in verses 15 and 16, he says, I don't cease to give thanks for their faith. This is back before internet, y'all. This is back when you sent letters by other people running across the world. This is back when you hand wrote things and said, hey, take this over there and give it to those people and tell them we love them and let them read it to everybody. And he did that and just to say, look, I hear about you, I hear about your faith, and I'm grateful that you're growing in your faith. Those of us who are called to be in the preaching ministry, the reason we accept the assignment for the majority of us is because we want to see people get saved, and we want to see people grow healthy in Christ in their faith. That's really the genuine reason why we all get into preaching. The reason why a lot of preachers end up quitting is because they're unable, for whatever the reason, they've gotten to a point where they're unable to see what the Lord's doing in the lives of the believers. And they lose heart and they get discouraged and sometimes get destroyed because of it. And it all comes down to, what are we looking for? If I'm looking for y'all to fail, I'm probably going to find that. Whether you're failing or not, I'm probably going to find it. If I'm looking for y'all to be successful and continue to grow and looking for what the Lord's doing in your lives, then I'm going to find that. I'm going to see it. The Lord will show it to me. And I'm grateful for that. Colossians chapter 1, he's always thanking God for their faith. And we read that not too long ago when we went through the letter to the Colossians. He started off encouraging them, saying, look, you guys are saved because you heard the gospel and you put your faith in the gospel. Thank the Lord. Right? How many times do we get together and somehow or another it's one of those moments in life where we need a complaint session? And we're looking for a brother or sister to just be able to think out loud like that, right? It happens. But if we love one another, we're going to look at each other and say, but thank God you're saved. Whatever the complaint is. But thank God you have faith. Thank the Lord, even in this situation, he's faithful to you. And you know his word. And start giving them reasons to be grateful. Start giving them reasons to be thankful. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's always chapter 1, isn't it? Because that's what Paul does. He never came in to destroy. He came in to build up. And he's always trying to give credit to God. 1 Corinthians, he says, I give thanks in every way you have been enriched. In other words, the gospel and the truth of God's word is enriching your life and making you stronger, making your faith stronger, which is making you a more powerful witness. In fact, so powerful, I'm hearing about it around the world. Everybody knows about y'all because of your faith. So thank the Lord for that. And then, of course, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, the second letter to the Thessalonians, he said he's always giving thanks because your faith is growing. Nobody likes to be corrected, I don't think. I don't know if I've met anybody that says, ooh, I can't wait to be corrected today. But we need it. But it's always an easier pill to swallow when it's covered with a little bit of honey. Don't you think? If you got to learn a hard lesson, isn't it better when you get built up and say, hey, look, you're doing a great job. This here can do a little bit better, but you're doing great. So here's some ways we can do better. But you're doing great, though. Thank the Lord, you're doing great. So let's just focus on that, right? That's the best way. That's the way the Lord does it. That's the way Jesus did it. That's the way Paul did it. That's the way all the disciples did it. Why wouldn't we do it that way? And why wouldn't your preacher pray for y'all to be able to grow like that? Why wouldn't the preacher be thankful because you guys are growing in Christ every day, always? I thank God for your faith. I thank the Lord. Look, this has not ever been about who's coming to church and who's not coming to church. Even though sometimes the discussions around the world throughout the churches and the preachers and the elders and whoever is who's coming to church and who's not coming to church, and we lose sight of what it's about. Yeah, I want everybody to come to church. And I don't want anybody to skip church. That's a fact. But y'all know life happens. We're missing a few this morning just because they're unable. They're either sick or traveling or something. I know where they're at, and I'm thanking the Lord for them. And I thank the Lord that we're still able to reach them through live stream today. Otherwise, they would miss out on what's going on. But this is about reaching people, the lost people, for the gospel, so that they might get a chance to be saved. This is also about us being made holy because God is holy. That's called spiritual growth. It's called increasing our faith. Our faith continues to get stronger and stronger. And by the way, I think most of y'all know this, the more hardship we encounter and experience, the more we trust the Lord, the stronger our faith becomes. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for y'all, because it's the ones who are regularly part of what the church is doing that are the ones that are growing in their faith. Their faith is getting stronger and stronger. It's always the ones who are around occasionally with what the church is doing who are not as spiritually strong as some others. Not that it's a competition, but it's the purpose of God's will that you would be encouraged and strengthened in your faith, because you're supposed to be making disciples. You're supposed to be the witness in the world. Cannot do that if your faith is not strong. Nobody's going to believe that you believe if you're not living it. And you can't live it if you have weak faith, if you don't trust the Lord. If you're just like, I think I believe. Or maybe today I believe and tomorrow I just kind of believe. No, it doesn't work that way. So I thank the Lord that you guys are growing in Christ. And some of you might sit back and say, well, I don't know if I'm growing or not. I don't feel like I'm growing very much at all. Well, let me just say, we don't see what the Lord's doing always. You're probably way more stronger in your faith than you really would ever dream of if you could see what the Lord sees. If you could see yourself with the Lord's eyes, you might be surprised. You're probably a lot stronger than you think that you feel. And wherever we fall short, we can trust that the Lord is there to pick up the slack. So thank the Lord for you. Thank the Lord for your growth in your faith. The second thing is, we're going to talk about the love of God's people and being thankful for the love of God's people. Since I've been a part of this congregation, this is one of the... How I say this. This is probably the first church where, as the preacher, I have felt like I'm a little bit behind simply because y'all are faster than me when it comes to calling each other, saying hi to each other, checking in on each other. And I'm saying that like by the time Sunday evening comes around, a lot of y'all have already checked on each other. By the time the preacher gets around Sunday evening or Monday or Tuesday, whatever the time comes, hey, how you doing? Somebody else has called me and said, hey, I checked on so-and-so, and they said this and that and whatever, which I think is amazing. I think it's amazing because it should be who we are in Christ. It should be how the church really is. And sometimes other congregations seem to struggle with that. They know each other on Sunday morning between 11 and 12, but after that, there's no communication. They don't talk to one another. They don't even know about one another. It's kind of sad, actually. So I thank the Lord that it's not like that here. I thank the Lord that y'all see fit to participate in each other's lives, see fit to pray for one another and build each other up. That's what the church is supposed to be. We're supposed to be family that way. Ephesians chapter 1, write these down. Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Philemon chapter 1, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, 2 Thessalonians, if you're writing them down, all chapter 1. These are some examples of how Paul was being thankful for the love of God's people and for the fact that God's people were growing, not just loving each other, but growing in that love for one another. He says, I do not cease to give thanks because of your love. Always thanking God for your love for the saints. Always thanking God for your love. Always thanking God that your love is increasing. That's what those scripture verses say. It's what Paul was saying. Paul is simply praising God because God's will is being done in the lives of the believers. Isn't that an appropriate thing to do? Praise the Lord that His will is happening in your lives. And that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that the Lord is having His way in our lives. He's having His way in our hearts. He's building us up. He's teaching us things. He's correcting us. He's leading us. He's moving us in whatever direction He wants us to be moved. And God is the one who builds the church. Hello? Not me, not the elders, not the deacons, not y'all, not the sound man. As awesome as He is, He doesn't build the church. God builds the church. God builds each congregation. A church family is also built by God. You ever thought about that? Each congregation that is part of the body of Christ, part of the kingdom of God, God is the one forming that family. He's the one moving people in and out of that family circle. Ultimately is what's happening, isn't it? So if you think about it that way, then we don't get to pick our family members, do we? I mean, not really. If we're praying for the community to be saved and we're praying for the gospel to have its effect in our community, then somebody might walk in the door that we don't know that God intends to be part of the church family with us. Thank the Lord. Because each one of you at some point in your life were new to a church. You were the new addition to the church. Each one of you at some point gave your life to Christ and you got saved and you for the first time were part of the body of Christ. We're part of the family. Right? All are welcome to be saved. All are welcome to be part of the family of God. We have to submit to God being the one who builds the church. And we be thankful for that. Because guess what? If we build a church and then God built a church and there was a comparison, it would be pitiful, wouldn't it? If we built a church, it would be pitiful. So thank the Lord that He's building the church. And I'm thankful for each one of you because I know that God is the one who brings you here. He was thankful for His fellow workers. That's what this was. That's what the sharing in the gospel is all about. The next point that's already on the board. He was thankful that the church, the believers, were sharing in the gospel. He's like, look, I see that you're working for the gospel. I see that you're busy about making disciples. I see that I'm doing the same thing and that we're together on this. I think He's thankful for not being alone, right? I'm not the only one doing this. But He's also thankful because they're busy about the work of the Lord, which is what He was trying to help the Thessalonians understand. He's like, look, you can't stand there with your eternal suitcase waiting for Jesus to come pick you up and take you. You can't do that. You got to get busy about the work of the church. You got to get busy about loving people and loving God. And I've been here long enough now to know each one of you to some degree. And there's nobody around here that I would be able to say is not interested in God's plan, that's not interested in making disciples, that's not interested in people getting saved. I feel like most of us, if not all of us, are sitting around going, okay, what can we do? How can we get involved? Where can we go? Because we want to be about the Lord's business. We want to be about the work. We want to share in the gospel with the rest of the body of Christ. I think that's what we all desire, and I thank the Lord for that. Because when you have a group of people who are believers, a family, together in one place that have that desire, God can work with that. It's when you have a small church that just really doesn't care if anybody ever comes to church with them. Really, they don't really want their church to change. They don't really want their church to grow. They like it the way it is, and if you add people to it, it's going to change, and we don't want that. That's not the attitude. And I'm thankful that we don't have that attitude here. I'm thankful that this is not one of those places. I'm grateful for the believers here at Oak Grove. And finally, Paul found some joy in his ministry. And this is, for me, and the short time I've been in ministry doing this kind of work for the Lord and for the people, knowing that things aren't always easy and they're stressful at times. I look at Paul and his ministry, and I have to say to myself, what kind of lightweight are you? That dude should have died a bunch of times. He should have been killed a bunch of times. He was in prison a bunch of times. He was shipwrecked a bunch of times. People were chasing him around the world because he was preaching the gospel. And yet here we find in the book of Colossians and the book of Philippians and Thessalonians, just a few examples, he's praising God and he's being thankful for the joy that he finds in each of those congregations. In case you hadn't noticed, when Paul wrote letters to the church, it was always because there was a problem that needed to be addressed. There was groups of believers that were doing whatever they do, dealing with whatever they were dealing with, so he would send a letter to them saying, hey, I see this and it can't happen that way, or I see that and it needs to be corrected, or this is not right teaching. It was always a problem that he was addressing. But yet he was always finding joy in each of those congregations, in each of those groups of believers. He's like, look, I find joy. Because of you, I'm joyful. He's in prison telling people, I got joy. Where? Down in my heart, right? I got the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of the Lord. No matter what's happening, this is the key right here. This is the key to being thankful for everything. The joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord has to be present. And I really believe with the help of the Holy Spirit and us doing our best to keep in step with the Spirit of God, applying the truth of God's Word into our life, we will find that joy, and what we will be looking for are many things that we can be thankful for. So I praise the Lord for you, church. I thank the Lord for you. Every time I go to a preaching conference, I meet up with preachers I know and some preachers I don't know, and we always get into conversations and prayer time. And there's a lot of preachers that desperately want to have some good things to say. And some of them really can't find any good things to say when in reference to how their church is going. And it's heartbreaking. And I thank the Lord that I don't have to be one of those preachers. I praise God for that. Because now when people say, how's the church going? I can say, hey, look, we're just like every other church. We're living in the world, going through some stuff, but the Lord's having his way. And he's awesome, and the people are awesome, and we're making it. And I can praise God for you. And I can thank the Lord for you. I find joy in being your preacher because of you. So I'm going to close now. As preachers, we ought to be able to offer prayers of thanksgiving for God's people. It shouldn't have to be something we have to work hard at. It shouldn't have to be something that we have to feel like we're lying about, right? Going, hey, thank God for our church, and really not feeling it. It shouldn't have to be something that we're reminded to do, being thankful for the people that God brought into the church for us to be a part of. My desire is to continue to grow in being able and being ready to give thanks in everything in Christ for the people at Oak Grove Christian Church. I'm thankful for all the believers around the world, but my assignment is here. And I'm thankful for that assignment. I get to be a part of what God's doing here. It's a blessing. I'm not what God's doing here. I'm just part of what God's doing here, just like you guys. We're in this together. We're working together. So right now, we're going to stop and pray together, and then we're going to sing a song of invitation. Lord, today is a day of worship, a day that we recognize your holiness. We acknowledge your greatness, your lordship in our lives. We remember how much you love us through the sacrifice of your Son on the cross. We come here for fellowship and prayer. We come here for study of your word, to worship you. And Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for every person that's come through the doors of this building and of the old building, the entirety of this ministry, that you've been involved, that you've allowed this church to be a witness in this community. I'm grateful. That me and my wife get to be a part of it. Strengthen our faith, Lord. Give us all what we need every day. Continue to use us in this community and help us to be the witness for your gospel. Continue to show us opportunities and ways to love one another the way that Jesus taught us to love one another. Build us up in love. Continue to increase our love for not only one another, but for any and all who would ever come into our presence, and that we would be thankful for that. I'm grateful, Lord, that we share in the work of the gospel together, and that in each of our own ways you use us in the community, in people's lives, and in each other's lives to continue to build us up, and that the gospel has its way. Lord, we thank you for Oak Grove. We thank you for being our God, for your faithfulness. Teach us, Lord, to continue to grow in this attitude of gratitude. We love you and we thank you, Lord, as we sing an invitation, Lord, that anybody who was not saved, that would need to be saved or want to be saved, that you would have your way in their heart. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name.